Thank you for joining with us today as we meet again around the Word of God. And today we're turning to Revelation and the chapter 4. Revelation and the chapter 4. And here the Apostle John in Revelation 4 was given an insight into heaven. And we're reading the chapter together, Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings, and thunderings, and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honour and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. We'll seek the Lord together in prayer and ask the Lord for his help even now in the preaching of his word. Heavenly Father, we give thee praise and thanks today that we can consider thy word which is unchanging, thy word which is truth, thy word which is forever settled in heaven, thy word which is a living, speaking word, and we thank thee through this word thou dost speak to our hearts. And so we pray today for every individual who will even hear this message being proclaimed from thy word. Bless your own people that are saved by your grace. May they be encouraged, may they be challenged, may they be led on. Remember any that are cold apart or backslidden, may they have restored unto them the joy of thy salvation. Remember the unconverted. We pray that they will be brought to seek thee while thou art to be found, and call upon thee while thou art near. Remember those that need a touch in body or in mind. Remember the bereaved and need comfort in their hearts. Lord, meet the need of each one, we pray. And we do ask again that thou wilt show mercy and grace to our land and our nation. We acknowledge we are undeserving, but we ask in wrath that thou wouldst remember mercy. We pray that soon we'll be able to assemble together again in the house of God, to the public place of worship. Lord, bless us in our own homes at this time. Help us, even in these circumstances, still to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Hear and answer prayer this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we read in Revelation 4 and the opening verse that John saw a door opened in heaven. And he heard a voice saying to him, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Now, John declares here that the first voice which he heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with him. And let me go back to Revelation 1 and the verse 10. John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." And so we're in no doubt there in Revelation 1 and 10 that the voice that he heard, like as of a trumpet, was the voice of the Lord Jesus himself, the risen, glorified Christ. And therefore we believe here in chapter 4 that it is the voice of the Saviour again, which says to John, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Back in chapter 1, when John turned to see the voice that spoke with him, he saw seven golden candlesticks representing the seven churches. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now, John, in all that he had revealed to him and wrote down in this book, he sets before us great blessings. Because in chapter 1 of Revelation, in the verse 3, we read, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." There is a blessing then for those who not only read the book of Revelation and hear the words proclaimed within it, but those who keep those things which are written therein. Those who are brought to turn from sin and trust in Christ for salvation. After all, this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we come to chapter 4, it is very significant that John could write after this, "I looked and behold a door was opened in heaven." Now the Lord Jesus himself is the door to heaven. He is the door to salvation. Remember he said in John 10 verse 9, "I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." The greatest blessing which can be received is to be saved from sin. Saved now in life and be in God's family and live for him. Saved from ever ending up in that place called hell. Saved someday to enter heaven. It is also worthy of note that John declares in the opening verse, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." And of course, in the previous chapters, in the previous verses, there are the seven letters to the seven churches. And in the seventh letter, in Revelation 3 and 20, we read of the Lord Jesus standing at the door of the church of the Laodiceans. And he's knocking. And he's saying, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Therefore, we have a great contrast here in chapter 4 because the door was opened in heaven. And I want today, as it were, to look in through this open door in heaven and see what John was shown and what truths have been written down for us here concerning this vision in through the open door into heaven. First of all, John saw a revelation of the sovereign God. John tells us in the verse 2, "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." John had a vision of God upon the throne. There is a chorus that says, "God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials oppress us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone." And when we see here in this vision, through this open door into heaven, a throne in heaven, God sitting upon the throne. Of course, there are many scriptures we can put alongside this chapter of Revelation that declare to us that God is the sovereign ruler of this universe upon his throne. For example, in a number of the Psalms, Psalm 11 and the verse 4, Psalm 11 and the verse 4, and there we read in this Psalm of David, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men." The Lord's in his holy temple. He's in heaven, the throne. His throne is in heaven, it says. And his eyes are beholding the children of men upon earth. Another psalm, the Psalm 47, in the verse 8, "God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness." God reigns over all, even the heathen. God reigns. And he sits on the throne of his holiness. He's a holy God. He's set apart from all others. He sits on the throne of his holiness. We can also look at the prophet Isaiah in the very final chapter of Isaiah's prophecy, the chapter 66. And in the verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." And so we can say today that God is upon the throne. He is in control of all things. No matter what is happening in this world, God is the sovereign God over all. He is the Almighty God. He is in control. He is working all things after the counsel of his own will. He's the great creator. At the very end of Revelation 4, we read of the 24 elders in heaven, and they are saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Now in this vision of God upon the throne, we discover that in this vision, all three persons of the Godhead are highlighted. It was the voice of Christ, which John heard, saying, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." We can speak about the Father being on the throne, because when you move into chapter 5, you will read of John seeing in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side sealed with seven seals. And you will discover John saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." John wept much concerning this. And then one of the elders said to him, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And you will find the Lamb coming." The Lion is the Lord Jesus. And in verse 7 of chapter 5, "He came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." So Christ says to John, "Come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter." The Father is upon the throne. And then we read also in the verse 5 of Revelation 4 that out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, of course, we remember that much of Revelation has symbolic language. There is only one Holy Spirit of God, but the number seven in the scripture speaks of perfection or completion. He's the perfect Holy Spirit of God. Now, the revelation of God upon the throne here in Revelation 4 sets before us the brightness of God's glory. God is a spirit. He's invisible. But the symbolic language describing the vision of God, which John saw sitting upon the throne, sets before us the brightness of his glory. In verse 3, John says, that's Revelation 4 again, the verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Now, a jasper stone is a transparent stone, like a diamond, showing different colours as it is looked upon from different angles and looked upon in different lights. And we might ask, why is God likened to a jasper stone with these qualities? Well, however, we come to consider the revelation of God and his word, we discover he is glorious, he is perfect, he is pure, he is holy in his person and character. We can speak of, as I've said, the brightness of his glory. To use the words of Hebrews 1 and 3, where we read of Christ being the brightness of God's glory. God is also likened to a sardine stone, a stone which is blood red, symbolizing God's justice, which is inflexible and uncompromising. In Revelation 4 and 3, we read of the rainbow round about the throne, and in sight it was like unto an emerald. Now, of course, back in Genesis 9, the rainbow spoke of God's covenant, his promises of mercy, grace, and love. And this rainbow round the throne was like an emerald, which is green in colour, and green is said to be the most restful of colours. As believers in Christ, we find rest and peace in God's mercy found in Christ. The psalmist said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Thus, in this vision, we are taught that God is holy and just, and therefore must punish sin. But in mercy and grace, he has covenanted to save a people from sin, out of every tongue, kindred, and nation. Can I ask you today, are you one who is called of the Lord for mercy and salvation, and are you living for him? Or does the day find you out of Christ, rebelling against the sovereign God, to whom someday you will give account? So as John looked and beheld this door open in heaven, as he obeyed the voice of Christ to come up hither, and he was shown things to come, he saw a revelation of the sovereign God. He saw this throne in heaven, one sitting upon. But in the second place, he also saw a revelation of the saints in heaven. When you get to verse 4 of this fourth chapter of Revelation, round about the throne, John saw 24 seats, or little thrones, round about the main throne. And upon these seats he saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, of course, these 24 elders, again, as we think of a symbolic language of the Word of God, the very number 24 helps us identify who these 24 elders in heaven represent. Remember, in the Old Testament, God's people, the children of Israel, were made up of 12 tribes. And in the New Testament, the Lord chose 12 apostles representing the New Testament church. In Revelation 21 and the verses 12 to 14, when we read about the new heaven, the new earth, when we read about the holy city, when we read about New Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem, we read this in verse 12 of Revelation 21. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So we have the 12 tribes. and the 12 apostles. Thus, the 24 elders that John sees sitting round about the throne, they represent the complete church of Christ. Old Testament believers and New Testament believers. Now, at present, to use the words of Ephesians 3 and 15, the whole family of God, some are in heaven and some are upon earth, but someday the whole family is going to be brought together, the complete church. And we're going to be glorified. You know, those in glory at this moment are described in Hebrews 12 and 23 as the spirits of just men made perfect. Now here in Revelation 4 and 4, the 24 elders, they had on their heads crowns of gold, reigning with Christ. Indeed, we are told in chapter 1, in the verses 5 and 6, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, with the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. We read in the verse 10 of Revelation 4, the 24 elders falling down before him that sat on the throne, worshipping, casting their crowns before the throne. We also read in the verse 4 of these 24 elders clothed in white raiment. And we read of the white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints, in another part of the book of Revelation. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Justified. Someday we're going to be glorified. You know, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4 and 8 of a crown of righteousness laid up for him in heaven, which the Lord will give to him and to all who love his appearing on that day. John's given a revelation of the saints in heaven in glory. Will you be among the saints in glory? Only if you are a saint upon earth, according to the Bible's definition. It doesn't mean you can be sinless upon earth, but if you've been set apart by God, and if you are brought to turn from your sin and trust in Christ for salvation, and then live for his glory, the Bible says you're a saint. Paul, writing to Romans 1 and 7, described those to whom he wrote as those who were called to be saints, beloved of God, the called of Jesus Christ, those with faith in the Lord Jesus. If you are such a person today, a saved sinner, you're a saint of God. And if you're not such a person, you need to turn from your sin today and trust in Christ alone for salvation. So John here in Revelation 4, as he looked in through this open door, as he obeyed the voice of the Saviour to come up hither, and he was shown these things which must be hereafter. Yes, he had a revelation of God, the sovereign God upon his throne. He had a revelation of the saints round about the throne, clothed, crowns on their heads, and later on casting their crowns before the throne, and they're worshipping. But in the third and final place, he had a revelation of the angels in heaven. From verses 6 to 9 we read of four beasts or living creatures, resting not night or day, but saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They're giving glory and honour and thanks to God upon the throne. While there have been many different suggestions given as to what these creatures and the vision represent, I believe when we compare scripture with scripture, they would seem to be the representation of angels. One writer said that they are in strength like the lion, in ability to render service like the calf or ox, in intelligence like man, and in swiftness like the eagle. And that's seeking to explain the verse 7 of Revelation 4. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third had a face as a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And if you care to turn for a moment to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, just to compare scripture with scripture, in Ezekiel 1 And the verse 5, Ezekiel 1, and the verse 5, Ezekiel in the vision he saw the likeness of four living creatures. And their appearance, they had the likeness of a man. They had four faces, they had four wings. Talks about their feet being straight, the sole of their feet like the sole of a calf's foot. They sparkle like the colour of burnished brass and so on. And indeed verse 10 talks about the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle. So there's similarities to what we're reading about in Revelation. And then in Ezekiel 10 and verse 20 we read this as the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Kibar. And I knew that they were the cherubims. The cherubims. Some of the angels of God. And of course in Revelation 4 when it's talking about these beasts or creatures and how they rest not day and night saying, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. Does it not remind you of Isaiah chapter 6? Because in Isaiah chapter 6 when the prophet Isaiah spoke of that year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. He, above it stood the seraphims, again some of the angels. They had six wings. They cried to one another saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You know, the angels worship and serve God in heaven. And they take a great interest in the great plan of redemption and its outworking here upon earth. Remember in Luke 15 and verse 10 how the Lord Jesus, when he was speaking during his public ministry, he said in Luke 15 verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. In Ephesians 3 and the verse 10 we read, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And then in 1 Peter 1 and the verse 10 we read, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should fall, unto whom it was revealed. These great truths concerning the plan of redemption were revealed to the Old Testament prophets, that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So the angels of heaven are worshipping God, they're serving God, but they're taking a great interest upon the outworking of the plan of redemption here upon earth. And so here in Revelation 4, they're crying, Holy, Holy, Holy. And in verse 9 of Revelation 4, they're giving glory and honour and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. You know, there's an interesting verse in Hebrews 1 that tells us that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Can I ask you, are you an heir of salvation? Have you, by faith, received the gift of salvation from God? Have you repented of your sin? Are you an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ? Salvation is offered to you as a free gift if you will repent of sin and by faith trust in Christ. If you reject this offer, the Bible makes it clear you'll never be in heaven. We're looking through the door into heaven in Revelation 4. You'll never be there unless you turn from sin and trust the Savior. And so I pray that you will consider, even today, this passage as we have said it before you, that you will consider the sovereign God who is over all, who is on his throne, that you will consider the saints in glory, and you will ask yourself, are you one of God's people now upon earth? Are you saved? Are you on the road to glory? And that you might even consider the ministry of the angels who even come and minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. Thank you for listening to the word of God today. And we do pray that the Lord will bless his word to your heart and that the Holy Spirit will apply it to you personally as the Lord sees your need.